Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Touch 'Em All podcast. I'm Mario.
And I'm Rafi.
And we're back after a couple of weeks. It's been a crazy few weeks, hasn't it, Rafi?
Definitely, man. We've had the opportunity to go up to Florida and visit some spring training sites.
Yeah, definitely a lot of fun. You had the opportunity to go out to Arizona.
Yes.
Hit up Goodyear Surprise, all that good stuff. Exactly. Catch some Cactus League action.
Yep.
So it's been a crazy few weeks here for us at the Touch 'Em All podcast. And we have lots of baseball stuff to cover today, so let's get right into it, Rafi.
Yeah, first of all, let's go around the league, talk about, you know, the different teams and, you know, injuries and who's going to play what and where. And so let's, without further ado, let's go jump right into it with the Phillies. As you may have already heard, Chase Utley will begin the season on the disabled list. And it doesn't stop there. Brad Lidge will also begin the season on the disabled list.
And
so,
and not to mention Dominic Brown, who had that Dominic surgery on his hand. He's out 4 to 6 weeks. I think I'm more concerned about the Utley injury than I am about the Lidge injury.
Yeah.
I think the Lidge injury is going to be kind of a few weeks type of deal.
Yeah.
The Utley injury is more concerning. I wrote a piece about the Phillies a couple weeks ago, and just kind of talking how everybody's like, oh, the Phillies in this rotation, they're going to be great. Nobody's going to touch them.
Right.
You know, that as good as the rotation may be this year, that offense is aging and aging fast.
Yeah.
They lost Jason Wirth. Dominic Brown, the right fielder of the future, is not going to be ready at the beginning of the season. That bullpen has a lot of questions. And now Utley, their marquee player with, you know, chondromalacia and tendonitis and all these issues in his right knee, you know, he's not even, I don't think he was even playing defense recently. So, yeah. You know, what do you expect out of the Phillies now?
Well, I mean, they'll pitch well. Is the problem here is whether the hitters will give them enough run support to win games. And, you know, I guess the Phillies had signed Luis Castillo to a minor league deal, but I don't think that's going to help. He's batting 100 so far for the Phillies this spring, so he may not make the roster. You know, we'll see. If you're the opposing team, all you have to do is walk Howard, and you're pretty much set. You can work around it.
Yeah, you've pretty much gotten rid of their offense. Staying in the National League East, let's talk about the Mets, too, for a second, because you kind of hit on that a little bit with the release of Luis Castillo. He's still owed $6 million.
Mm-hmm.
A few days after they released Castillo, they released Oliver Perez, who had been moved from the rotation to the bullpen. He's still owed $12 million. Where do you think Perez is going to land?
He actually signed with the Nationals, or at least rumored, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, you know what? You're right. I think I did read that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So, as far as Perez goes, I think he'll have success there, maybe. I mean, maybe it was the pressure of playing in New York. I don't know. But the Mets, I think they made the right move in releasing both of them.
Mm-hmm.
They were both kind of just there, you know, cancerous in there.
And, kind of twilight of their career, kind of guys.
It didn't make sense anymore to have him there.
Yeah, and maybe the move to Washington will be good for Perez. A lot less pressure than being in New York. I mean, we saw how that move affected Javi Vasquez in that, you know, moving from New York to Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, he was a Cy Young candidate that year.
Exactly.
And now in Florida, we'll see how he does. I think he's going to be a good veteran presence in that rotation for the Marlins. The other thing I kind of want to get into, let's, you know, talk about the National League East, because a lot of things have happened. The Marlins optioned Matt Dominguez to I think he's going to be in AAA New Orleans to open the season. Edwin Rodriguez has come out and said that they expect Dominguez to be in the majors at some point this year. What are your thoughts?
It's the right move to make. Yes, he got off to a hot start in spring training, but
just 2 home runs, and he just kind of tailed
2 home runs, 10 RBIs, and just tailed off, and you know, if you can't hit, then, you know, it's better you take your swings at in the minor league level and see what happens. But I think, you know, I guess the Marlins are going with Donnie Murphy at third base, which, you know, we'll see. I'm not too crazy about it, but, You know, you do what you can.
Yeah, I think Donnie Murphy's just going to be keeping seat warm for Dominguez mm-hmm. until he gets there. Although I think Donnie Murphy's a good defender, and he's shown that he can be a clutch player when needed. I mean, last year he had two walk-off hits, one of them being a home run in the same week, mm-hmm. that wild week of walk-offs for the Marlins.
You're right.
Where we had like five walk-off wins and like six, mm-hmm. you know, in six games or whatnot. So I think the Dominguez thing was a good move for the Marlins. You know, they don't want to rush him up. The Marlins are very good about developing their young talent. You know, and he was batting 192 and he wasn't even facing the tough major league pitchers that the teams are going to be facing over, you know, the past week and now coming into this last week of spring training before the season opens.
On top of that, they weren't quality at bats. If he had been hitting 190 and taking full counts maybe every two or three at bats, okay, you know, they're quality at bats, but
hitting the ball hard, you know, that kind of thing. Right. The other big story is Mike Stanton. Welcome back, Mike Stanton.
Yeah.
This past week, his first official Grapefruit League game, he decides to go for 2 3-run home runs off of Clay Buchholz with 7 RBIs, 3-for-4. Have a day, Mike Stanton.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, I think any questions about his quad have been squashed at that point. You and I talked about it. I think, you know, we think that 40 home runs is
definitely a possibility.
Definitely a possibility, not a stretch at all for him.
No.
I think most fantasy people have him projected at 36.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, any power questions about the loss of power, you know, losing Dan Uggla for the Marlins, I think have been answered with Mike Stanton. And, you know, he's going to be hitting fourth. He's going to be hitting behind Hanley Ramirez in front of Gabby Sanchez. So that 3, 4, and 5 in the Marlins lineup is going to be kind of like pick your poison, you know, when. It, almost like when Utley Howard and
Worth
were there and healthy, that was...
Yeah, it was deadly.
It was deadly, and I think the Marlins kind of took that and understand that having a solid 3-4-5 group of guys is going to be good for their team. So we'll see what happens with that. I'm kind of excited for the NL East this year. It's going to be very good. Baseball, I think, over this year is going to be a lot more... there's going to be a lot more parity than there has been in the last year or so.
Definitely.
In the last few years. So we'll see what happens. The other thing is, let's go out west to Oakland, where Andrew Bailey is going to be starting the year on the DL, I think.
Yeah, it's looking that way. And I think Brian Fuentes will be the closer.
Yeah, I got a scary text the other day when it said he was going to visit Dr. James Andrews. And we all know what that means. When a player goes to visit Dr. James Andrews, it usually results in him having to get Tommy John surgery.
Right.
And luckily for Bailey, it didn't turn out that way. It was just elbow strain or something like that.
Forearm.
So he's going to be okay. He's going to be, you know, for those of you in fantasy leagues thinking about drafting Bailey or have drafted Bailey, sit tight, keep him on your DL. He'll be back, you know.
Don't worry about
American
it.
League Rookie of the Year in 2008. He'll be all right. So let's move on now. Zach Greinke will be starting the year on the DL.
That one I'm worried about.
With the rib cage injury. I'm kind of worried about that as well in our first fantasy league that we drafted the other day. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I got auto-drafted Zach Greinke, and we all know that I don't like Zach Greinke.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. He's got that rib cage injury. It was like a cracked rib from
mm-hmm.
playing
basketball.
Basketball. You know, go figure.
Going out for the rebound.
So we'll see, you know. You know, that's a kind of a tricky,
dangerous.
It's dangerous.
It's one of those injuries. Look at Jacoby Ellsbury last year. It's one of those injuries that's hard to come back from, especially if you're a pitcher. And, you know, I'm sure he'll be, you know, he'll come into the season late April, May. And according to, I believe this was a pitching coach, had that injury come during the season, they would have pushed him to pitch. But because it was spring training, you know, you take the precautionary measures.
And I think the Brewers are investing a lot in Greinke being their ace this year, and I don't think they really want to push him.
No,
you
exactly.
know, they don't want to stress that. I mean, they have good pitchers already with, you know, Sean Markham and Giovanni Gallardo and Chris Narvison. They could bring up a Manny Parra to pitch who's had some major league experience and has had some success at the major league level.
Right.
So, you know, although, you know, he's had some rocky starts as well, but, you know, somebody that could bring up, they have Chris Narvison.
Randy Wolf,
who's a veteran guy, left-hander, you know, can eat, is just an innings eater.
They also traded for Sergio Mitre, which, you know, it's kind of like a stopgap kind of guy. He'll probably pitch in the bullpen once Greinke returns, but he is considered as one of the finalists for the number five spot.
Mm-hmm.
We know Mitre can pitch as a starter, but it just seems that he's better adept at the bullpen, so.
Right.
We'll see.
So, I also saw an alert today that Clint Barmas is going to miss 4 to 6 weeks with a broken left hand.
Big blow.
Definitely a big blow, number one. I think it could be potentially more than 4 to 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, now you have to let the hand heal. Yeah. And then on top of that, you have to regain the strength that you're losing in that hand, especially for hitting for a guy like Barmas, who's potential for 20 home runs. You know, I think it could be tough. I think it's going to be more than 4 to 6 weeks. I think you're maybe looking at 2 to 3 months between perhaps. Rehab and all that stuff. So, you know, I'm no injury expert by any stretch,
right.
But just from what I've seen in baseball before, uh-huh. It could be longer.
It could be longer.
Look at what happened to Andrews, the shortstop from, or the second baseman from Cleveland.
Asdrubal Cabrera.
Yeah, Asdrubal Cabrera. See, you know, I know he had some strange game like that. Asdrubal Cabrera against the Rays last year just, you know, dove for a ball, dove right into Johnny Peralta, and shattered his wrist.
Yeah.
And he was out for a while. So we'll see what happens. That's a huge blow for the Astros, and I had a lot of expectations for the Astros, especially after seeing them mm-hmm. during spring training.
They had already lost Jeff Kepinger, who was their shortstop last year. He had a foot surgery, so he probably won't be back till mid-May. And so now you have two shortstops that are out.
Yeah, not to mention Jason Castro, their catcher, who's out with a torn ACL or MCL, and his return at all this season is questionable.
Right.
So, you know, the Astros now are starting to drop like flies, and this is a little concerning because, you know, you and I had high expectations for them.
They had promise. I mean, they still have promise, but,
yeah.
You know, these are three big blows.
Luckily, I think their rotation is going to be pretty good this year.
Yeah, exactly.
So, we'll see what happens. The other guy that's kind of injured, you know, kind of in the closer ranks is Octavio Dotel.
Mm-hmm.
Questionable to start the season. He's most likely going to be on the DL to start. What's his injury exactly?
That's a sore hamstring, mm-hmm. sore left hamstring. He was, I guess, I don't know if projected to be the closer because they also had Frank Francisco, who's also going to miss time.
Mm-hmm.
So, now you have two guys that were potential closes and are missed time. You have John Roush there, so he may close games.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, those are big blows to the team, but, you know, ultimately, it's a tough division, and it's a big difference, but I don't see their injuries, I guess, kind of meaning too much in the for them,
yeah.
Yes, but for in the grand scheme of things for the division.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they're going to be out the whole year. They're not. Yes, the closer is a key part of your team, but it's not the key part of your team.
Right.
So
if they can outslug teams,
yeah,
they'll be fine. Actually, Corey Patterson got hit in the head yesterday,
and Oswalt got hit the other day
yeah.
too. Took a line drive in the neck from Manny Ramirez. That couldn't have been fun.
Yeah, but they'll be fine apparently, and at least we know Roy Oswalt will be fine. I don't know about Corey Patterson.
Yeah.
But Corey Patterson's a, you know, non-roster invitee guy. Was looking to make the roster, and hopefully it's not a big deal. And
he did well with the Orioles last
yeah,
year. He had, I think, 20 or 21 steals.
Mm-hmm.
Was really a rock for them in left field.
Yeah.
Kind of held it down. So let's kind of get into our spring training coverage, because we saw a lot of games.
Yeah.
We saw 5 games in 5 days. You were in Arizona. Let's talk about Arizona first, because you went there first. So
sure.
Let's kind of recap what you did over there and
okay.
how that went.
Basically, I started off at Mesa, Arizona with the Cubs and Dodgers. And, you know, I saw some good things out of Marlon Byrd particularly. And Fukudome, who's a question mark for the Cubs and, you know, needs to improve. And I saw Billingsley pitch, and he did well. Ryan Dempster. So, you know, I'm actually really high on the Cubs this year. You know, I never thought I would say that, but, you know, if they could put it together, they have the talent, they have the experience, and I dare say they have the leadership in Mike Quade as their manager. So, you know, like I said, if they could put it all together and they can get on a roll there, I think they can get into October, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and they made some moves in the offseason to kind of improve that. They went out and got Carlos Peña. They went out and got Matt Garza from the Rays.
Kerry Wood
brought him back to be the setup man for Carlos Marmol.
Uh-huh.
They're going to have some good pitching between Dempster and Garza and Zambrano. I mean, that's a nice little three-headed monster you got there. Mm-hmm. Dempster quietly had a solid year last year. Not a lot of people, I think, realize that. You know, they got Starlin Castro at short. Aramis Ramirez, if he's healthy, is gonna be good for them. Mm-hmm. You know, 20 plus homer guy, you know, 100 RBIs, that kind of thing. Who's going to play second for them?
Blake DeWitt, and I think as far as depth-wise, I think that's the question mark. You know, the Cubs were looking at Luis Castillo. That didn't work out. But, you know, if DeWitt kind of seems like not going anywhere, maybe they go out and get a second baseman.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the Cubs are concerned, it's health and it's composure. It's, you know, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, I guess leave your egos at the door. And play as a team, and I think that's what the Cubs need to do if they're going to succeed. They have a lot of characters on that team, with Zambrano, and I guess Ramirez, and Carlos Silva, and all these people, and they, like I said, if they're going to do it, they have to play as a team.
Yeah, absolutely. So who else did you see out in Arizona?
I saw the A's, which looked really good. The Mariners.
Was there a Mike Trout sighting when you saw the A's?
No Mike Trout. But I did see Grant Green, I believe, their prospect shortstop. Looked really good. And I saw, this kid's name escapes me, this pitcher, Marti. Really good electric fastball. I don't know for sure, but he's probably been already optioned. But we should see him in the near future. You know, I like what I saw there, and with the additions of De Jesus and Matsui and Willingham, they have a nice lineup there to go along with that great pitching staff.
Yeah, I think the outlook for the A's, and you and I have the same outlook, mm-hmm. is that they're going to be really good this year.
Definitely.
The A's are going to have a solid, solid team this year, have a chance. Maybe not at the division because of Texas and, mm-hmm. you know, the moves that they made in the offseason, but I think they're definitely going to have a shot at the wild card.
Definitely, yeah.
Although, it's either going to be somebody out of the AL East or the A's.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, with the Mariners, I did see King Felix pitch. He didn't have his best start when I saw him, but, you know, we know what we're going to get from him year in and year out, and, as far as some prospects, you had, I believe, Michael Pineda or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's his name. You know, he's slated to either be the number 5 guy for the Mariners this year or start the year in the minor leagues. He has some good stuff going. And there's their prospect second baseman, Dustin Ackley. He might not make the team because you have Brendan Ryan and Josh Wilson up the middle.
Yeah.
So,
the thing with that, though, is I was actually reading about that. Ryan, I think, is going to be pretty set at shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
But Jack Wilson,
I'm sorry.
is the question mark. I think if he falters, you know, into, you know, April, May, by June or sometime in May, you'll see Dustin Ackley up,
yeah.
playing second base with the Mariners. That's kind of what I've been reading. Is that, you know, Ryan's kind of set there at the shortstop position because of his glove and because
mm-hmm.
he can hit a little bit. But Jack Wilson's the big question mark for them. And it seems like second base is becoming a question mark for a lot of teams.
Yeah, it has been. You know, but that's baseball.
Yeah.
There's always question marks, and it's a revolving door.
Yeah, so, exactly.
So. Let's see. I also saw the Giants and the Rangers. It was a good game.
Oh, that, yeah. World Series rematch.
Yeah, and both of them played well. It was, I believe, Giants won 4-1. But I did see some good things from both sides. Alexio Gando, reliever for the Rangers, was battling for that number 5 spot, but I think he's going to start the season in the bullpen. He had some great stuff. And then you had the Giants. They had their regulars come out that day with Cody and Pat Burrell and Pablo Sandoval. Sandoval, interestingly, has lost a lot of weight.
That's good.
And, you know, he looks a lot more flexible and whatnot. And, you know, we'll see what we get out of him. DeRosa is ready to play a full year with the Giants. So it looks like the odd man out may be Aaron Rowan. I don't know how that's going to work out. Yeah. Because you have Andres Torres there, too.
Yeah, that's a crowd. You and I commented on that. We have spoken about that before. It's a very crowded outfield out there. But, you know, potentially if Aaron Rowan ends up the odd man out, you could see him back in Philly.
You could see him back in Philly.
I mean, the Phillies kind of do have a need. You know, Ben Francisco, you know, or Aaron Rowan. Aaron Rowan plays great defense. Mm-hmm. You know, can hit a little bit. So
I don't think Pat Burrell will be back in Philly because the Giants just finished re-signing him, so I don't see that happening. But, yeah, Aaron Rowan does seem like a possibility. You know, and as far as at first base for the Giants, it's looking like Aubrey Huff,
mm-hmm.
but their prospect Brandon Belt has had a great spring training, and he's making a case to start the season on the big club.
Yeah, so that could crowd the outfield even more if you have to find Aubrey a spot Huff. For Aubrey Huff, who kind of quietly had a great year last year.
Quietly.
Had a great year last year.
Great investment.
Yeah, definitely. Great. That was a great steal from the Orioles mm-hmm. just to get him. So, yeah, I mean, the Giants really didn't make a lot of moves in the offseason, kind of just brought everybody back, although the question mark now is Brian Wilson says they'll be ready by opening day.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens. He's kind of got some strains going on. I think it's just, you know, a little rust.
I'm sure he'll be fine. If anything, they'll use Sergio Romo or somebody at the closer role.
Exactly.
Right at the beginning of the season. I also got to see the White Sox and the Rockies. I liked what I saw out of the White Sox. Not so much the Rockies.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, well, that game was back and forth, you know, one team took the lead, the next came back, and so on and so forth. But, you know, the White Sox seem like they have it together this year.
Yeah, absolutely. They do. The White Sox made some great moves. They're going to have a great outfield with Juan Pierre, Alex Rios, Carlos Quentin. You know, and that infield is going to be very good, too.
Exactly. And I think the question marks, they named Brent Morrell, the prospect, the starting third baseman. So, Mark Tien is kind of...
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's another option for the Phillies. Yeah. Or maybe even the Marlins, who knows.
Yeah.
But, you know, and as far as the rotation is concerned, Jake Peavy, you know, stubborn. He wants to start the season on opening day, or at least, you know, be on the club for opening day, but it doesn't look like it. He'll probably miss 3 or 4 starts with right shoulder tendonitis. So... you know, that rotation kind of took a big hit here.
Yeah.
But if they can, you know, ride the ship with Burley, Danks, Floyd, Jackson, and whoever's going to fill that number 5 spot,
yeah,
then I think they'll be fine.
They're going to have a nice rotation this year also. Kind of on the Rockies, it seems like the Rockies have kind of deconstructed a little bit, got rid of Clint Barmas, you know... kind of, you know, are investing, getting rid of some people to invest a lot of money into Carlos Gonzalez, which they did, and Tulo, which are, you know, kind of the players of the future, you know, for that team. They're going to be the faces of the franchise,
mm-hmm.
Which is fine. I just, to me, it seems like they're like, all right, well, we're not going to do it this year. That's fine. We'll just wait a couple years.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, it must mean they have somebody, you know, some people down in the minors that they think are going to be ready within the next couple of seasons and really make a push. So we'll see what happens with that. Anything? Any other Cactus League notes you got?
I did visit Royals camp, and I guess this is a moot point now, but I did see Brett Carroll at third base for the Royals.
Former Marlin, Brett Carroll.
Former Marlin, and now former Royal, because he was sent to Milwaukee.
Yeah, Milwaukee picked him
so
up.
So I did see that it was interesting that he was playing third base. And then aside from that, Royals look exciting. They have a young core group of guys, and once their prospects, Mike Moustakas and Hosmer, first baseman, once they get called up, they'll look like a contender. Yeah. Next year, maybe the year after that.
Yeah.
But they're looking good.
Yeah, and that'll be great for the Royals to get some, to be a contender.
Finally
again.
Be relevant.
Again, yeah.
Exactly.
So, all right, well, I mean, let's move on to the Grapefruit League.
Definitely.
We've had, you and I spent a week in Central Florida, and it was great. I had a blast.
Definitely.
We started with the Marlins and
the Nationals.
And the Nationals at Roger Dean Stadium in Jupiter. It was a lot of fun. I mean, the game was not the outcome that we wanted, but there were some good notes from the Marlins. It was Ricky Nolasco's first start after coming back from the meniscus tear and then the thumb injury in the offseason during his rehab or training program, whatever it was.
Yeah.
First batter he faced was Nyjer Morgan. And, you know, we all know what happened on September 1st. You know, Chris Volstad, you know, threw at Nyjer Morgan, you know, plunked him the first at bat, threw behind him the second at bat. Morgan charged the mound. Gabby Sanchez clotheslined him. You know, kind of, you know, we all know what happened. So,
right.
0-2 pitch, Morgan gets plunked and just walks to first base, you know. And I read something today that Nolasco didn't intend to hit him, and I don't think he did.
No.
On an 0-2 pitch, you're not really trying to hit a guy. You're going to do it on the first pitch, and that's what Nolasco said.
Right.
And Morgan, you know, said he didn't, you know, he says that they think they tried to hit him on purpose or whatever, but he's like, yeah, I kept my cool. I'm not trying to get upset. And, you know, I stole the bag and got myself in scoring position, whatever. So, I don't know. It was, you know, Jordan Zimmermann was definitely a bright spot for the Nationals that day. I mean, he was just on fire. Just dealing.
That's somebody that the Nationals need to you know, turn it up.
Yeah.
Especially with the absence of Steven Strasburg.
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to be anchoring that rotation until Strasburg gets back. Zimmerman's got, I mean, he's got good stuff. He knows how to deal. He works relatively quickly. And we actually got a chance to talk to a fellow blogger.
Yeah.
His name's Mark Hornbaker, works for Nationals Daily News. He actually put a link to our site up on his blog page.
Definitely.
So if you guys get the chance, definitely go check out Nationals Daily News. Good friend of ours now, Mark Hornbaker, follows me on Twitter now, and you know that whole thing. So it's, you know, kind of cool to be networking.
Exactly.
And that was part of the thing that we were hoping for as well out of this trip, was to be able to network and get to know some bloggers and all that, and spread the word about what we do, and hopefully, you know, this takes off for us. But yeah, it was a good game. Bright spot for the Marlins was Eli Villanueva for sure.
Oh.
Although he did get optioned to minor league camp, looks like he's going to open the season for a very good AAA New Orleans rotation with Alex Sanabria, Sean West, and Eli Villanueva anchoring that rotation. That's going to be really good, I think. And Villanueva, I think if you see an injury or Chris Volstad falters, you know, in the beginning of the season, I think you're going to see Villanueva up very soon.
He's the first one to get a shot.
Yeah, through four scoreless innings, was working quickly. I mean, throwing strikes, not afraid to come after guys. And just very good. Very good. Didn't walk a lot of batters. I think he's walked like maybe three or four batters in 15 innings in the spring. So that was definitely a bright spot for the Marlins. We didn't see a full Marlins lineup.
No.
You know, we didn't see Matt Dominguez. Didn't get to see John Buck behind the plate. But now, you know, today's Saturday, so they're going to be, actually, the Marlins are playing right now. They're fielding their full lineup. Projected with Donnie Murphy at third base. We'll see how that does. You know, Mike Stanton hitting and all that good stuff. So then Monday, that was on Sunday. So then Monday we got to see the Orioles
and the Pirates.
And there's some, that was a good offensive game.
Yeah, definitely.
And some great plays by both teams.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Fox went deep for a home run.
Boy, what a spring training he's having.
Yeah,
Nine home runs.
Yeah, he's having quite the spring training, making a definite case to be on that roster.
Yep.
I think Buck Showalter doesn't have much of a choice at this point.
Yeah, the thing with him is positioning. He's a catcher by trade, but he can play first base. So we'll see what Buck Showalter is going to do. I actually posted something on the Orioles, a little preview on them. And, you know, I did mention a little bit on Jake Fox and what his numbers mean and what it would mean for the team if he were to be on the club or not. You know, we'll see. And aside from that, I like the lineup that they have there with Derek Lee, J.J. Hardy, Vlad Guerrero. So, you know, the key for them is to stay healthy. You know, all these guys, these veterans have a tendency to get hurt. We've seen Derek Lee go down with wrist injury, and we've seen Brian Roberts with back injuries, and so... the key for them is to get healthy, and as far as the pitching is concerned, they're young, but I think if they can attack the strike zone and get deeper into games, they'll have a chance to win more often.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mark Reynolds.
Yeah,
I think is going to be great for them.
Definitely.
As well, I think Mark Reynolds brings a lot of power. Granted, he strikes out a lot. Yeah, he had a 198 average last year, but I don't read into that. His batting average on balls in play was really low last year compared to his other career numbers. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of those things that was kind of an anomaly last year. I think he's going to hit more in the 250 range.
Yeah,
possibly 260, and I think Mark Reynolds is going to hit, 30-plus home runs for them. And he's actually projected to bat, like, seventh.
Yeah, that's pretty low for a guy like Reynolds. But it makes sense with such a deep lineup that you've got there. And why not? Why not put somebody like Reynolds at the seventh spot?
And it's sneaky, too, by the Orioles. Yeah. I like what Buck Showalter is doing with that, because you sneak in a guy that is capable of 30 home runs, 100 RBIs in the seventh spot. Nobody's expecting that, and it's going to be a nice surprise when they get there. Well, not exactly. Really for the pitchers, but for the Orioles. Anyway, so then Tuesday we had a chance to see the Red Sox and the Tigers.
Yeah.
Although, based on where we were sitting, there was a little wiffle ball game going on with a bunch of little kids, which ended up being, it was kind of a low-scoring game, not a lot happening.
No.
Verlander was on the mound, so he was pitching really well. Gave up, I think, just a home run to Jacoby Ellsbury. Mm-hmm. Jacoby Ellsbury looked good. Carl Crawford looked good. So I think that's going to be well. I think the Red Sox are going to be great. Miguel Cabrera hit, I think, went one for three, but, the two that he got out on were bombs to, almost the wall in center field.
Right.
The rest was, wow, what a play by Albert Pujols. That was Albert Pujols. The Marlins and the Cardinals are playing right now. Albert Pujols just ran out and into right field, literally, and caught the ball. So that was quite the play. That'll be on SportsCenter tonight. Anyway. I totally lost my thought because that play was so amazing.
We were talking about... Wow.
That's how caught up in the play we got. It was just so amazing that we lost our complete train of thought. Wow. All right. Well, moving. Oh, we were talking about the Red Sox and the Tigers. Miguel Cabrera hitting that bomb, and it was just wow. I mean, his home runs are just so majestic to watch.
Tigers are gonna have a good lineup this year.
Will Rimes is gonna be playing second base for them. Scott Sizemore got optioned down.
Okay.
So it's going to be a good lineup and a good infield, man. I mean, Johnny Peralta at short, Brandon Inge at third. Peralta's nice because you can kind of move him around between short and third, maybe even a little second.
Rimes at second and Cabrera at
first. I mean, your outfield is Ordonez, Austin Jackson, and Brendan Bosch projecting to start in left field.
Right.
So you're going to have a nice little lineup there with the Tigers.
Their rotation is going to be good. Guys like Max Scherzer and Rick Porcello have to really, you know, take it up another notch if they're going to succeed this year. We know what Verlander can do, but we still need to see these two young guys kind of, you know, improve. And they also have Brad Penny, I guess a veteran, the veteran of the group there. You know, we know we can, what we can see out of Penny. We saw it in 03 with the Marlins.
Yeah.
And he pitched okay, all right. He pitched well with the Dodgers, and he's since then gone through the Cardinals and the Giants, so and the Red Sox. So I guess the key for Penny is to just you know, keep the ball down and make quality pitches.
Yeah, and Penny's one of those veteran guys that, you know, he's not afraid to go out there and pitch.
No, he's a bulldog.
Yeah, he's a fighter, definitely. The other game we saw on Wednesday was the Astros and the Nationals, and the Nationals were the only team that we saw twice.
Right.
And we saw some good things out of the Nationals. They were hitting well. Jason Worth was, I mean, he didn't have the best days, but he played well. Jason Worth, I'd never seen him in person or anything like that. He seems like a really nice guy from what we saw. You know, he was signing autographs, and he would tell people, no, that's it, that's it. And then as he was walking down, someone else would ask him for an autograph. He just seems like one of those great guys. One of those great clubhouse guys, you know, to be around. The Nationals scored a lot of runs in that game. They scored 7 runs, and
it seemed like the Nationals had a hold on the game, but the Astros kind of took over, and then, you know, younger guys kind of, you know, got on base, scored runs, and it made for an exciting game, an exciting walk-off win by the Astros. You know, in that game, we saw Brett Myers pitch, and he did all right for the first 3 innings, I believe, and then kind of, you know, lost his... But that's spring training. You know, usually, you know, you're good for the first 3 innings or so, and then
you're not fully stretched out, exactly. So you kind of, you know... then on Thursday, St. Patrick's Day, was a lot of fun, too, because we were in Tampa.
Yeah.
We're at the George Steinbrenner Field, which for me was like, it was like a religious experience. I don't like the Yankees, but I love baseball. I love the history of baseball. And you just felt like, you know, it was, you had that Yankee Stadium feel.
Right.
The stadium was full, not an empty seat in the house. And, you know, you felt like, almost like you were at Yankee Stadium. They put out, you know, the projected lineup that was going to be starting. It was really good. I mean, it was a lot of fun. It was a good game.
Definitely.
I mean, a lot of power flash in that game. Johnny Damon went deep. A-Rod hit that home run over the center field screen that was just 450 feet at least.
Yeah. I mean, Swisher went deep, I believe.
Yeah. Another note. I'm sorry. Quick note back to the Astros game. By the way, the Astros were down in the bottom of the ninth. They were down 7-3. They came back, scored 5 runs in that inning.
Right.
Off of, was it Tyler Clippard that was pitching that inning? Tyler Clippard, and they, you know, and just came back and won 5 runs in an inning and just walk off. And it was a little anticlimactic because I was expecting, you know, the big celebration at home plate or whatever. But no, you know, not really.
And spring training.
I guess, yeah. So anyway, back to back to the Yankees and the Rays. That was, I think so. Did he? Yeah, Albert Pujols just hit a home run. Good night. Yeah. So, back to the Yankees. Some good things that we saw about the Yankees. Their pitcher that started for them, Phil Hughes, looked really good. This guy, Buchek, for the Rays, pitched really well at the beginning, too. Gave up, I think, just that one home run to A-Rod. But other than that, was just lights out.
Yeah, he's probably won't make the roster. You know, he's a journeyman. Pitched for the Angels and, I believe, the Pirates. So... despite pitching well, I don't think it'll be enough. I mean, he may be called up during the season or something, but yeah, it's always encouraging to see a guy that may not make the roster pitch well, and just so that, you know, the organization knows he's there if they ever need him.
Right. Jesus Montero was also starting at catcher for them.
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to make the major league roster?
I think so. Frank Cervelli is injured right now. So, and Jorge Posada, they've said that he will not be catching this year at all.
So he's going to be strictly a DH.
Strictly DH. So that means that they need another catcher.
So it'll be Montero and
Russell Martin.
And Russell Martin start the season.
It may, I don't know, because you can say, okay, Jesus Montero is ready to play, but is he ready to be a backup catcher? And they may do a platoon situation at catcher, because a guy like Jesus Montero, I'm not really comfortable having him as the backup catcher. You know, he's somebody that has always been a starting catcher in the minor leagues, and he should be treated as such. But because you have Russell Martin there, you're kind of, you know,
yeah,
you know, restraint and wow, and Hanley Ramirez just threw the ball into the stands.
Yay for Hanley Ramirez! So that's something that concerns me with the Marlins this year is Hanley Ramirez's errors. He needs to improve his defense. If he could play 09 defense where he was, you know, if he could go back to Hanley Ramirez of 2009, Silver Slugger, only 9 errors the whole season, that would be great. But anyway,
but that's not what we're getting.
Yeah.
So
Russell Martin.
Russell Martin. So it'd be interesting to see what the Yankees do. I guess Montero will be the backup catcher. But I would have wanted to see him start.
Yeah.
But you're not going to do that to Russell Martin.
Yeah. I mean, and you could see a timeshare.
You could.
You know,
you
a
could.
Little split, maybe like a 60-40, you know, something like that, 70-30, where, you know, Russell catches most of the games, but Montero gets some major league action. And I think that'll be good for him.
Right.
Montero needs to start getting his feet wet, you know, in the majors. And I think it'll be good for him. It'll be good for him.
Right.
So anyway, I think that kind of rounds out our trip. You know, we did spend some good times in Tampa after that game.
Mm-hmm.
Yankees ended up winning. Had fun. It was a fun trip. I think I think it's going to become an annual pilgrimage for us to go up to catch some Grapefruit League games for a week. And, you know, we'll see what happens. Fantasy leagues. We started drafting our fantasy leagues. We did it. Did one on Thursday.
Yeah.
And we got 3 more coming up this week. So next week's going to be a good fantasy. It'll be a good fantasy week for us. We'll be able to recap, right. Kind of talk to you guys about some of the draft strategies that we used and that we've talked about on the podcast before.
Yeah.
So you can see how it goes. I know some of you listeners are actually our friends who are in the leagues with us. So you guys will definitely be mentioned on the show.
Right.
So anyways, I think that's all the time we have for today.
Sounds good.
Yep. Until then. We hope you guys email the show.
Email and ask us anything you want about fantasy baseball or baseball.
Or baseball in general. The email address to get us at is podcast@touchemall.net. Again, that's podcast@touchemall.net. So until next week, you know, enjoy your fantasy drafts if you got them coming up. And, you know, live baseball, man. Take care.